this morning, and that this time will be a real blessing to God, and that God, in turn, as God always does, will use this time to bless us. We're going to begin with a time of worship, which our worship band are going to lead us in.
Good morning. Our first song is a song called I Will Follow, which is so pertinent to today, our covenant service. Chance for us to declare that we are followers of Jesus and that we will follow him no matter where he may lead. So let's stand to sing. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in you alone. When you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. When you move, I move. I will follow you. Who you love, I love. How you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Ooh. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. If you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Oh, I will follow you. I will follow you.
Let's pray, shall we? Ah, Lord, those are hard words to sing that we've just sung. Where you go, I'll go, and that I will follow. God, we do come this morning to give to you our praise and our worship. We want to give glory to you, God, our Father. Ah, you, God, are a God of love. We know that. You created this universe and everything in it, including us. And you called this world good, and you are the one who continually sustains and blesses it. And in your great covenant with us, we know that you've loved us with an everlasting love. You've shown us the light of your glory in the face of Jesus. So blessed be your name in this place today. We give glory to you. And we give glory to you, Jesus Christ, our Savior. You are God. You were with God from the beginning. And although God, for our sake, you became nothing and became flesh just like us. You shared the good news of the kingdom of God, and for our sake you gave yourself up to death on the cross. And your death showed us again your great covenant love for us. But you were raised from the dead and you're alive now forever, raising us to life in you, bringing your kingdom to us. And so, Jesus, blessed be your name in this place today. And then we give glory to you, Holy Spirit. You're the giver of life. You are our breath. You're the one by whom we're born into this family of God. We're made members of the body of Christ. Thank you that your presence abides in us. Your witness confirms us. Your wisdom teaches us. Your power enables us. And it's your grace that carries us. So Holy Spirit, blessed be your name in this place today. To you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you now all of the praise and all of the glory. Be in this place. May we know you here this morning. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's time for any children that are with us who may wish to leave now. There will be some provision for you. There will be some people I'm trying to see who there is around. I know Tracy's around somewhere. And Tracy's at the back. So any sort of primary kids or younger can go with Trace at the back there. And is Gareth and Sarah around? I know Gareth's around because I've seen him. Yes, Gareth's waving his hand. So if the older children want to come out that way, that's fine. And you'll come back in later for the covenant service. If you've not been with us before and you have children, then they're very welcome to join those activities, or indeed to stay here if you'd prefer. But we'll make some smoke signals or something and get you all back in time for the covenant itself. Today is going to be a little bit different than we normally do things. We don't want to overstretch it. In previous years before COVID, of course, we had the luxury of saying, well, that's okay, we'll spend an hour and a half doing covenant. And these days we have to be a little bit more careful. So this morning will be a little bit different. That's why there's not the number of worship songs or hymns that we might normally do, and some of the things that we might do. So here we are again then at our annual covenant service. It's a strange word, isn't it, covenant? It's not one that we use very much these days, is it? And we mustn't confuse covenant with contract. They're two different things completely. A contract can be a legally binding agreement, but a covenant never is. A covenant is a pledge that's given from one party to another in response to the relationship that those parties have with one another. And it's a commitment that's made regardless of the way the other party chooses to respond as well. And as Methodists, we come to this service each year to remember all of the commitments, the covenants that God has made with us, to rejoice in those. And in return, we reaffirm our own commitment to God. You know, in the Old Testament, there are six different covenants that we read about that God makes with humanity. They start with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then there's one that's made with Noah, and then Abraham, and then Moses, and then King David, and finally one that's made through the prophets, Jeremiah particularly. And then we come to the New Testament, and Jesus comes as God and initiates and brings in what he calls a new covenant, a new commitment of God to his people. And in each of these different covenants, God commits to the relationship that he has with his people, and they in return commit to theirs with God. This morning I want to look at covenant in a slightly different way than we've done in previous years. And what I want to do is by looking at four different symbols that we find in the Bible that talk about or illustrate or are symbolic of covenants. And we'll look at each of those symbols and see what they have to tell us. Three of them are about God's covenant to us. And then we'll finish by looking at one symbol of our covenant to God. And so the first symbol that I want us to consider is this. Now, when Trace practiced this yesterday, she had it all nicely done so it was all... It's never going to work the same with me, is it? Okay, hopefully you can see what it is. It's supposed to depict a rainbow. That's the first symbol I want us to think about. And let's read about it, shall we? Audrey is going to come and read to us from Genesis. It's not Audrey. Somebody is going to come and read to us from Genesis. I've got David Selby first, and then Audrey. All I read was first Audrey. I apologise, Audrey. David.
So we're going to hear about Noah and the rainbow.
It's from Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 to 17. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." Amen.
Thank you, David. The rainbow is perhaps the very first symbol of covenant that we find in the Bible, of God's commitment to us. Let's consider the context for a moment. There'd been a massive flood that had destroyed every living thing on earth. Except it wasn't quite like that. You know, in the ancient world, every civilization and religion had a flood story legend. You can read all about them in various history books. And in most of those legends, the gods or deities had ordered the flood as a punishment on the earth with catastrophic results. Every living thing, everything, was completely wiped out to enable the gods to be able to start again with the world. But the Jewish flood story was different. Because built into that story was something else. Rather than a god of destruction, in the Jewish flood story, we hear about a god of salvation. A god who doesn't destroy everything, but provides hope for the future. In the story, as you will know, Noah goes into the ark with his family and two of every living creature. And two of every living creature and Noah and his family are saved. You see, when God created this world and everything in it, he was pleased with it. God called it good, didn't he? Many times in Genesis 1, he calls it good. God wanted to bless his creation, be fruitful and multiply, is what he'd told them. And following the flood, God made this covenant with Noah and indeed all of creation, and he used a rainbow as a symbol. This was the symbol of God's promise to stand by us and bless us. You see, unlike the other flood stories, in God's story, there was hope. Hope of God's blessing. From a God who loved the world and still loves the world and wants it to prosper and to be fruitful and find fulfillment. And a rainbow, of course, is multicolored, isn't it? It includes every single one of the primary colors within it. It's all inclusive. Isn't that what the rainbow symbol that we use today signifies too? It's a celebration of diversity and inclusion. And that's a great symbol of God's covenant to us. God's blessing, God's love is an invitation that God offers all of us, all of his creation, all people. It's extended to everyone. The rainbow is the first symbol of God's covenant commitment to us and God's promise of hope and redemption and blessing. His invitation for everything to find fulfillment and fullness of life in him. So that's the rainbow. And then I want to show you another symbol. This is the second one that we read about. Don't worry, it's not mine. In rehearsals yesterday, this stood very nicely like that. Yay. It's a tent, isn't it? This is the second symbol of covenant. I'm going to fix it while Audrey comes and reads to us about it. Because what you're supposed to do is put tent pegs and stuff in, but I'm not sure that that would do this platform too much good.
From Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 to 16 and verse 22. Then let them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Let them make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold moulding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the side of the ark to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law, which I will give you. There, above the cover between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. And then from Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Amen.
Thank you, Audrey. Okay, so that sounds like a bit more of an elaborate tent than the one that we've got here, doesn't it? But the tabernacle that we just read about, it was a tent, actually. It was a portable, removable structure that was built by the Israelites that God had commanded them to build. It travelled with them for the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And the tabernacle was the symbol of God's presence being with the people. Can you believe it? There's thousands of Hebrews, refugees, camped out in tents all over the Sinai Desert. And that's where they live. And where is it that God decides to live? Well, he lives in a tent just like them. The creator of heaven and earth is hanging out and living in a tent just like those he had created. And at the very centre of this tabernacle was what we read about, something called the Ark of the Covenant. That was a metal trunk that was contained the two tablets of stone that God had given the Ten Commandments to Moses on. It carried the stick that Aaron carried, the one that took that got water out of the rock. And it also had in the Ark of the Covenant the manna, the food that God had provided them to eat. These were all signs of God's promise to be with them, a sign that God was for them. The tabernacle was symbolically the place where God dwelt, where God lived, and where Moses met with God. It's the place where God's glory rested. It was the symbol that God was present with his people wherever they were. And you know, God's covenant commitment to us is still the same now, that he will always be present with us. It's an amazing thing, don't you think? God, the very creator and sustainer of everything, chooses to dwell and abide right here with every one of us and fill us with his glory. Isn't that what the whole message of Christmas was about? Emmanuel, God with us. God became flesh and became one of us. And it's a message that we read about over and over again right throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this: "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Psalm 23:4: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that we're God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in us. And Psalm 139 says that we can never get away from God's presence, wherever we go, whoever we are. And right now, today, we can know God's covenant promise that God is with us. We have the rainbow of God's promise of blessing, of hope for us and for all of creation. We have the symbol of the tent, which is that God resides and dwells with us. And then I want to show you one more symbol. And it's this. Let's read about it. Fred, I believe, is going to come and read to us about this symbol.
The next reading is taken from Luke 26, verses 26 to 28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins."
Thank you, Fred. You know, the night before he died on a cross, Jesus had a meal, didn't he, with his disciples. He broke bread and he told them that the bread he was breaking represented his body, which was being broken and given to them. And then he took a cup of wine. And he said that this symbolized a new covenant that God was making with his people. This cup, he said, was a symbol of the new covenant. The new covenant was God proving his commitment to us by becoming human like us and then dying on a cross to show us what he would do to bring us back to God. How far would God go in order to prove his love for us? All the way to the cross. This, friends, was God emptying himself of everything for us, everything except love, giving his very body and lifeblood so that we might know his love for ourselves. This symbol shows us the cost of God's commitment to us, the price that he would pay to restore us to him, For God so loved the world, he gave us his Son, John 3:16 tells us. God gives and God empties himself of everything, even his very life, for the life of the world. Colossians 1 says this, "Once you were alienated from God, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Or as Philippians 2 puts it, "He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." You know, of all the symbols that we have of God's covenant commitment to us, surely this one is the greatest. God suffered, God bled, God died to show us the extent of his commitment to us. What an amazing God we have. We have the rainbow, the promise of hope and God's blessing for all of us. We have the tabernacle to remind us that God is always with us and will never leave us. And then we have this cup showing how far God would go to prove his love for us. So that's God's covenant commitment to us. But what about our side of covenant? How do we, as followers of Jesus, as people who have been blessed by God's love and everything that we've considered, how do we show our commitment to God? What symbol can we use to show our response? To show you the symbol that I have in mind, can I ask all of you to stand for a moment as you're able? Thank you. And now just have a good look around at the person or the people sat either side of you. And then turn your head around and look at all of the people that are stood up right now. Because, you know, collectively, the symbol that I want to show you is you. As you stand together now, you are the church. And I think that the church is a fantastic symbol of our response to this great God that we have. Okay, you can sit back down now, please. I'm not sure what you think church is or what its purpose is, but perhaps at its core it's simply a collection of God's people who meet together to do three things: to worship, to grow in God's love, and to reach out to our community that we serve with the good news of Jesus so that others can know it and respond to it too. Let's read about it. Debs is going to read to us from Ephesians. Thank you, Debs.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." And then Ephesians 4:15b to 16. "We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work."
Thank you, Debs. You know, it was Jesus who initiated this great body that we're part of, that we call church. It was Jesus who said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Friends, there is no such thing as a private faith. We live in community with each other. We're a body made up of many different parts, but part of the same body. We're all children of the living God, and God calls us to worship together, to grow together, to serve together as community, as church. This body of Christ, this church, this is God's plan. This is both the medium and the message, the beginning and the end. May they all be one, Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, so that the world may believe it was you who sent me, and that they may be one as we are one, with me in them and you in me. There is no other symbol of our response to God's covenant love that I can find, to be honest with you, in the Bible in the New Testament, save perhaps for baptism. That's the only one I've thought of. But apart from that, this is the only one, the communal one, the corporate one, for better or worse. This thing that we call church, this is the symbol that each of us is invited to carry, that shows the extent of our commitment to this great God of ours. Yes, I know that the church gets it wrong on so many levels. I know it's hard for us to get the worship and the teaching right so it appeals to everyone. I know that we're all different. Sometimes our differences are frustrating, aren't they? But remember the rainbow. God delights in our diversity, in our differences, in our colour, in our complexity. Perhaps we need to delight in it too. Let's remember the tabernacle, the tent. You know, in this church you might not like too much. Remember that God wants to live and dwell there. It's his church. God is present here and he wants to meet with us and abide with us and fill us with his love. In our individual lives, of course, but also collectively as his church. Through this church, he will build his kingdom. I know it's tough when we ask people to help make the coffee or welcome newcomers or do the sound desk or help with the youth club or a million and other things, one and other things. We get tired, don't we? It's hard work. But remember this cup. Remember the price that Jesus paid to reconcile us to God. Remember how God emptied himself of everything for us. Remember what it cost him, and then ask yourself if what you do really measures up. This church, you know, for all its faults and its imperfections, this is God's way of us showing our commitment to him by showing our commitment to each other. This is God's way of us growing and spreading his love to others. Friends, we have an amazing God that blesses us way beyond our deserving. A God who's faithful to all his covenant promises. A God who always wants to love you and bless you and carry you and pour out his grace over you time and time again. Today we remember and we celebrate that covenant love. And today we also have the opportunity to renew our covenant to God. We'll shortly be saying these words: I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. When I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. May we be able to respond to those words and really mean them. And may we respond by committing ourselves to the symbol that God gave us to prove we really mean what we say, by being and loving and living together well as church. Because at the end of the day, it's all only done in response to God's commitment to us, in response to God's covenant love for us, to God's blessings on us, to God's grace working in us. And it's all only ever lived out for God's praise and for God's glory. Amen. So now we'll be coming to this time in our service where we do say that covenant prayer. But to begin with, as we do year after year, there's some words that are going to come up onto the screen now, some of which I will read, some of which you will join in with. Those are the words that are in bold. We'll remind ourselves, first of all, about what covenant is, and then we will move into a prayer of confession, and then we come into the covenant itself. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in his life, in his work, in his death, in his resurrection. In him all people may be set free from sin and its power and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. And so we meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. So let us then seek forgiveness for the sin by which we have denied God's claim upon us. Let us pray. God of mercy, hear as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him and afraid to bear the cross, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and the selfishness of our prayers, the neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, fail to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn and selfish in sharing your love with others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. And so we say together, have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love. In the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offences. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again and strengthen me with a willing spirit. If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. And now I invite you to stand and sing. We join with hymn. If you're looking in your books, it's hymn number 549. The words will be on the screen. It's that great covenant hymn of Charles Wesley. Come, let us use the grace divine and all with one accord in a perpetual covenant join ourselves to Christ the Lord. Let's stand as we're able as we sing. Please remain standing. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant, which God has made with us and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purposes for us and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some of them are easy, but others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and our material interests, but others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. And yet the power to do all of these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to Him, trusting in His promises and relying on His grace. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, your will be done. When I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. So as we have entered this covenant, not for ourselves alone, but as God's servants and witnesses, let us pray for the church and for the world. Loving God, hear us as we pray for your church. Make us all one, that the world may believe. Inspire and lead all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Establish justice and peace among all people. Have compassion on all who suffer from any sickness, grief, or trouble. Deliver them from their distress. We praise you for all your saints who have entered your eternal glory. Bring us all to share in your heavenly kingdom. And let us pray in silence now for our own needs and for also those of others. Remembering especially as we pray to ourselves the family of Winifred Little. And also, of course, the family of Carl Mimick, of Liz, John and Paul. Lord our God, you have helped us by your grace to make these prayers. And you've promised through Christ our Lord that when two or three agree in his name, you will grant what they ask. So answer now our prayers according to our needs. In this world, grant that we may truly know you, and in the world to come, graciously give us eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we join together with the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So now we come to the wonderful part in our service where we celebrate that God, the covenant that God has made with us in Jesus. Here we come to the table of God, not the table of the church. This is for all who love God, all who want to love God and to know God's love. And just as God invites all of us to be part of his covenant relationship that he made available in Jesus without any conditions or qualifications, so too God invites all of us to come now to this table to be fed by him and filled by him. So please let us come whether we have much faith or little, whether we come here often or hardly at all, whether we feel worthy or not. The cross of Christ makes us all worthy. Here is a place where we can meet with God and receive God's grace. Just to let you know how we're going to do communion, as we have done recently, when it comes to doing communion, the communion stewards will sanitize our hands before we do, and then as we come to taking the bread and the wine, we will distribute it to you. You just remain where you are, and if you retain the bread in your hands, I'll say a few words and then we can eat together, and then we'll do the same thing with the wine. But let's prepare ourselves to meet Christ at Christ's table, at this most significant symbol of God's covenant with us, as we sing together, "I will offer up my life." Offering which will be for the work of God in this place as we sing. Thank you.
words could not tell, not even in part, of the depth of love that is old, of the depth of love that is old, of the depth of love that is old, by this thankful heart.
So let us come before this great God of ours in prayer, remembering this amazing relationship we have that was made possible only through Jesus. Loving God, we do remember this amazing covenant that you have made and keep on making for us, one that you renewed with us through the gift of Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross. We celebrate that our covenant with you doesn't mean that we have to conform or perform or shape up or qualify. Thank you that you accept us just as we are, purely on the basis of who you are and what you've done. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus sat at supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a piece of bread and he said a blessing and he broke it and he gave it to them with these words, "This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me." And then later he took a cup of wine and he said that this cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me. And so now, dear God, following Jesus' example and command, we do take this bread and this wine, ordinary things which Jesus has made special. Thank you for making us, for loving us, for caring us, for sustaining us. Thank you for what we've thought about this morning, for your rainbow and your hope of blessing and salvation for all of us. Thank you for the tent that you wish to meet with us and abide in us. And thank you for this cup which shows how far you would go to prove your love for us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace which reaches and covers us. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for rising from the dead to new life so that we could know new life in you. And now you present once more this table for us, offering us not just bread and wine, but your very self, that once again in taking this bread and wine, we can be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new. Lord Jesus, present with us now, we come with empty hands, yet at this table you delight to feed us and fill us with yourself. And so as we come here, will you send your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the means of your grace, the channels of your love, the way of making us whole. Lord Jesus, this is your gift given for us, your body that was broken for us. And this is your covenant, your love poured out for us. Here, right now, you come to us in bread and wine. This is your gift for us. So come and fill us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, as we've reminded ourselves, this is my body broken for you. And so we take this bread remembering his covenant love for us. And as we eat, we receive for ourselves once more the gift of God's great love. So we receive it with thanks to God. Amen. We've reminded ourselves, haven't we, that Jesus said that this wine, this cup, was a symbol of his new covenant with us, a covenant that was sealed with his blood. And so, as we drink, we maybe ask him to take us and use us as a covenant offering to him. Amen. So let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we have been fed once more with your grace. Oh, as we go from this place, may each of us know how much we are loved and accepted by you. You put your own life into our hands. Help us now to trust and put our lives into yours. We've renewed our covenant with you. We ask, God, that you would take us, renew us, and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. So lead us on and take us with you. And now, Lord, may we hear your call to serve others as you have served us, to serve each other, to serve our community. May we hear your invitation to be part of your plan to rescue this world. May we be a community of those who walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We remember again that we, your covenant children, that we're called by you to share your love with everyone we meet. So help us to receive your life, to walk in your strength, to follow your ways. And now may God's caring arms embrace us. May Jesus' comforting words fill us. And may the Holy Spirit's renewing presence surround us all today and always. Amen. Amen. Do join us for coffee or tea or something cold, which is through this door here and to my left. If you'd like to afterwards, it would be great to have fellowship with you. But thank you for your time. Thank you for those of you who've joined us online, and we'll see you real soon. God bless you.